This is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
My angry music. I don't know why I'm playing it. I'm just in the mood. Joining me, former Marine Sergeant of Amtrak's Lawrence Hinkle, who I saw on TV last week. I'm doing the show. All of a sudden, I look over. I'm like, that's Hinkle on my TV. What the hell? And but it didn't look like him. I had to do a double take because normally he's got this nasty beard thing. And it wasn't nasty. It was all combed out. He looked like the Cowardly Lion when they spruce the Cowardly Lion up, and he looks beautiful. I'm like, is that Hinkle? And I look. I'm like, yeah, look at that. So joining us now, is the one and only former Amtrak Sergeant Larry Hinkle. First of all, what are you doing on my TV? And thanks for coming on.
Amazing what makeup can do, isn't it?
Let me tell you, man, your beard looked righteous. So well done to the makeup artist.
Yeah, no kidding. She's definitely earning her paycheck. heck, man, it was just basically the culmination of another walk. This one was 1,000 miles with three British vets and three vets, me being one of them from the U.S. And Prince Harry was our patron. It was a U.K. charity.
Yeah, how about that? You know what, I'll tell you what. You know, you can't know somebody, okay? But
yeah.
He, first of all, fought for his country a couple of times. Second of all, marries a smoking hot American, so you got to love that. And
right.
Right, and then third, whenever I see him involved, whether it's the Invictus Games or being involved in veterans issues or whatnot, he seems like he seems like a good dude, and so I was reading about you and wasn't one bit surprised when his name, they said the Duke of Sussex. I said, I think that's Prince Harry. Then I saw his picture and. Not one bit surprised. Did any of the guys that you walked with, did they get a chance? Have they ever met him?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, with the Walking with the Wounded, the name of the charity, they do a lot of stuff with Prince Harry. So personally, I didn't get to meet him beforehand when they launched it. I think there was one other American that did, and they only flew one in to the U.K. to launch it. But,
Damn it. Yeah,
the guy practices. I mean, he walks the walk, talks the talk. He does it all. He practices what he preaches, man. He's, you know, especially those of us who have interacted with the Brits in some capacity overseas. I know for us it was the initial invasion in Iraq, and once we secured Basra, the Brits came in, relieved us, and I remember I'd never laughed so damn hard in my life. You know, the short 45 minutes or so that we got to interact with them. So it is, you know, not only are we fighting this global war on terror together, we need to heal together in the process afterwards for sure.
Yeah, everywhere we go. What was so funny about the Brits?
Man, especially with us, you know, the Marines, we have kind of a darker sense of humor and, you know, some pretty sadistic stuff kind of makes us laugh even harder. Well, they're the same way, man. They just, nothing's off limits to them. And, it's real fun just to get around that, you know, especially when you've been up for, heck, I think at that point it was getting on close to 48 hours. And, maybe it was the delirium that was making me laugh so much. I don't know.
All right, Hinkle. Let's, refresh everybody's memory about you. Born and raised where?
Dallas, Texas.
Are you still living there?
I am. I'm just north of Dallas, about an hour and a half or so.
Okay, you've got to meet a friend of mine who lives in Granbury, Texas, which is southwest of Fort Worth. So next time you head down that way, give me a call. And he's a retired Marine Corps gunner, comes on the program about 4 days a week. He's a battle buddy times three. You won't regret it. Mike Musselman's his name. So next time you head down that way, shoot me a text or something like that.
Would love to meet him. Thank you, brother. For sure.
Yeah, no. You'll be happy you did. He's an awesome guy. All right, so how does the Marine Corps get on your radar? Why did you join?
Man, it was basically me and my closest buddy here in Dallas. We watched some movie with Kevin Costner and somebody else, the rescue swimmers in the Coast Guard, and we were pretty hammered one night, and all else has failed with me. I'd already hurt my shoulder, couldn't play college baseball, which I thought my ticket was going to be baseball, but drunk, hammered, and we're like, we're going to do something. We're going to be rescue swimmers. We go there the next day. Of course, they're not there, so we walk on over to the Marine Corps recruiting station, obviously hook, line, and sinker. We were going.
And then the story's not complete if you don't finish it with, and then he backed out.
And then, yeah.
Did he?
Yeah, and then, yeah, he got a DUI, flipped his truck a few times, and I was already going.
Why do all the stories have that included? And then he backed out.
Yeah.
It does. Everyone I've heard of says, yeah, you know, we signed up together, everybody motivated, and then he decided not to go. I went by myself. all right, so you, so what year is this?
This would have been 2000, so,
okay.
Well, 99. Actually shipped to boot camp January 11th, 2000, so.
All right, so let's talk about September 11th, 2001. So, where were you that day? What were you doing?
So, I was a roommate with another Texan. I was in crew chief course in 3rd Amphibian Assault Battalion crew chief course, getting ready for deployment. Another Westpac would be my second one at this time. Call from my buddy's mom back in Texas, and I got to sleep in that day because we were getting our shots, our pre-deployment shots, so we got to sleep in for like 6:30 or so. And she's frantically calling, saying, hey, where's, Jeremiah? I said, oh, he's not with me. She said, check the news out. I turned the TV on, and it was right after the second plane had hit. So, I mean, we got put on lockdown immediately. I'm sure you remember. But yeah, we were just getting shots and BAS, watching it all day. And obviously that deployment got extended a little bit longer than a typical one would have been, but we got to go fight it on the home front.
What do you remember most about that day itself?
I think the thing that sticks with me the most is just couldn't go anywhere, couldn't get off base, couldn't get back on base. I mean, look, you could, but you had to sell a kidney. But it was, just the threat con levels. I remember knowing immediately that the deployment that we were about to go on was going to have some kind of impact on, retaliation. It was just, it was crazy. Like JFK, I remember mom and parents and everything saying where they were when it happened. And I think all of us that were alive when this happened know exactly where we were and what we were doing.
Pretty incredible when you think back of, on all the trajectory, of all the lives that this has impacted. And, for how many years have you been doing your Forrest Gump thing now? Three?
Yeah, this would be the third year, and I'm actually at the 4,100 mile mark. I went over that while we were in New York City ending this last one.
Wow.
So for 3 years now. It's been insane, man. That's some unbelievable people, and none of that would have happened if 9/11 didn't. You know, I don't think the Brits would be here doing this initiative with us if that didn't happen, obviously. So, made a huge impact on not just our level, but an international level as well.
Right, right. But you think about all the lives, the trajectories of all the lives that were changed that day. You continue to raise awareness for veterans that have been touched by the events post 9/11. But, that day is an incredible day in American history for a lot of reasons. And it still, it reverberates through the landscape, even today. So, pretty amazing. You know, much like December 7th was in terms of all the different lives that impacted as America mobilized and went to war. So pretty amazing. So you stayed in the Marine Corps until when, and what did you participate in?
So I stayed in the Marine Corps until 2004. Just did a 4-year term, but you know, within those three deployments, the first one was USF Cole, and that was bombed. We were in Seychelles. We were the reacting force to that. Providing security for the FBI and the ship itself. Second deployment that we just talked about, that was, we were 31st MEU support element for Operation Anaconda.
Tell everybody what Anaconda was?
Anaconda was the initial war on terror, the operation basically at the Pakistan-Afghanistan border, trying to keep terrorists from moving back and forth. Basically trying to keep them centralized into wherever they're operating so we can get a better handle on them.
All right, so you participate in that. And then, what else? Anything else you participate in?
Yeah, so the third and final deployment was Iraq, Operation Iraqi Freedom. We're in the initial invasion of that. That's where I actually interacted with the British military in Al-Basra, just 48 hours after we crossed the LOD, and less than 48 hours, but that's what kind of made this partnership with them so special, you know, just knowing, heck, one of the guys that was walking with us, his unit was the one that relieved us in Basra, so, I mean, him and I may have you know, we definitely shoot the same dirt, but...
Were you very, very prominent in the march up in images is an Amtrak sitting in Baghdad as that statue of Saddam Hussein. Were you anywhere near that?
No, that was my buddy's unit, but we were near it, just not that day in that area. I remember, you know, some of it was Saddam City. That's actually where we lost First Sergeant Smith, our company's First Sergeant, Saddam City. And then, you know, we were all around at the palace. Then we went to Baghdad University and I think Baghdad University was about the last thing I did within Baghdad.
Got it. So you come home, you get out, and what do you do?
Get out, get married, you know, going to corporate America, everything's great. Start losing buddies and you know, just start reminiscing on service and trying to get back into that Marine mindset where, you know, I turned into a first Civ Div Cub and need to get back into the Marine mentality, you know, and went to some dark places in my mind and found my way out of it. And got to this point where I realized that giving back to our brothers and sisters is actually where you find that true healing, where you can relate to somebody that's been where you've been and vice versa. You know, that's the first part of healing to me. And it's been a long time, but you know, I know if I'm slipping, I need to get around some brothers or sisters, you know, and just be around them.
Talk to me about the whole giving back thing, because I think it, when you talk about getting out of the military and going home, okay, mm-hmm. I don't know. You can go back there at home and you can isolate yourself and you can live with your stuff and you can try to, you know, live on the straight and narrow. I don't know that it works so good, especially for people that tend to live purpose-driven lives. I don't know that you can be home until you begin to impact the lives of other people. Because I think we in particular have a need for that. And so I think that if that's not part of your plan when you go home, you better make it part of your plan. Okay. So
yeah.
Your thoughts.
I couldn't agree with that, brother. That's exactly what we talk about. You know, even on this last trip is just, you have that sense of, you're dependent on in the military, you know, you play a vital role in each day's progress. So, you get out, you don't necessarily have that role anymore. Well, what I've learned to do is refocus that role onto, you know, our brothers and sisters, our tribe out there that may need a little bit of love, that may need a, you know, just to have someone say hi to them one day. You know, who knows what? I've had people, you know, say they didn't know how they were going to eat, and just by paying for their lunch in a chow hall, it just completely, you would never think that would, you know, buying a lunch would mean that much to somebody. But the fact that I was there, I was out there trying to interact with the tribe, you know, it's not only good for those people, but it's just as healing for you.
Okay, so I want to talk about that. Describe the feeling that you get when you touch somebody's life.
You know, just like I know, but for it's that feeling that you can't really explain unless somebody's been there. But you know, I paint it this way. I always say I've never been able to sleep to smile myself to sleep at night. And honestly, when I started this, I've had that feeling, you know, where you can lay your head on the pillow at night and just know that you've done everything possible to make somebody else's life better, or to make somebody who was fighting the same demons that you were fighting not too long ago, you know, make their life better. You can't put words on that. It's just such a peaceful, at ease feeling for sure.
I'm refining this thing that I do. It's called post-traumatic winning. Yeah, it sounds stupid when you hear it, right?
No, that's a lot of sense, though.
Okay, so follow me. The first thing you have to do is you learn how to coexist with it. There's some things that you need to understand. And we're fortunate because we're in a culture that at least talks about it. Civilians aren't in that culture. They're not a part of that. And when they get touched like it, you know, I had my sister on last week. Her two sons were 4 and 6 when they were murdered by their father, who then put a gun in his mouth and blew his head off in front of my sister, because she told him that she was moving out. And so we at least are having a conversation about it, about trauma and, you know, mental health and things like that. There's other parts of our society that, first of all, they don't sign up for it, and they don't know anything about it, and they go to a shrink. So to me, there's certain things you need to understand, and I think a lot of it is blue collar mental health, you know, things, basic stuff like you're not going to get over it. Now that's an impact. That's an epiphany, but once somebody tells you that, it's almost a relief, right? Like, oh, geez, okay. Because I had people telling me, we just want you to be the way you used to be, and time heals all wounds, and it'll be okay. And then somebody says, yeah, you're not getting over that. And you laugh, right? And you're like,
right.
Thank God. Who are you? What? Where do you come from? What's your name? Are you a therapist? No, I'm a I'm a grunt. You're a what?
Right.
But like it lands with the truth, and I there's a whole series of those things that you need to understand so that you learn that, okay, my task here is to learn how to coexist with this. And there's going to be days when it's harder than other days for whatever reason. I call it my menstrual cycle. It's actually my PTSD menstrual cycle. So and then when you learn that stuff and you learn about yourself, and then you can keep yourself between the left and right lateral limit, you then put yourself in position to win. And this is how you win. You win by taking your suffering and the things that you deal with, and you take the wisdom from that, and you begin to touch the lives of other people who don't know anything about it, who haven't had your experiences, and are suffering. And you begin to tell them those basic things. You're not going to get over it. You'll be okay. And what happens next, I would tell you, is magical. And that's what post-traumatic winning is. And so, as you said, it's not, at first when you hear it, you're like, what? But then if you talk to people that have been around it, if you talk to people that have lived it, And Larry's a great example of post-traumatic winning, right? This is not a disability, okay?
No.
And so what's extremely motivating for me is that I'm going to get out there and start preaching the gospel of post-traumatic winning here pretty soon. And it's going to start. It's going to start at the 2nd Marine Division, and I'm fired up about it. So, you know, we go from post-traumatic stress disorder to post-traumatic growth to, because in the Marine Corps, our culture, we're not content to coexist with shit, right?
Right.
We're here for the win. We're here not, we're not here for the tie. Okay, do you want to know how to win? Yeah, absolutely. You're going to touch other people's lives, and as you say, when you spend a day doing that, do you have to tie yourself to bed at night so you don't float away?
That's exactly the feeling, man. It's you can't put words on it. It's just your soul is smiling and you're so happy and content, and that's something you don't feel a lot of, after you've been back trying to deal with the demons that we deal with, but. When you do, it makes you realize it's like a drug. I want more of that, and I'm going to get more of that. You realize how much fun you're having while you're getting that feeling and how much it means to you to be around the people that suffer like you, that need a hug or just need a, yeah, brother, I feel you, or just a little acknowledgement.
Yeah, I don't. I have to tell you though, I don't like hugging. I don't know why. I don't know why I don't like to hug, but I don't. It makes me nervous. The first thing I do is lock elbows, especially with a big dude like you. Like, yo, bro, you need to get off me, all right? Just how about we shake hands right here? But no, it's so to me, and all this stuff is blue collar stuff. It's and somebody asked me the other day, well, are you a psychiatrist? Are you a therapist? Like, no, I don't even know. I'd have to look at my college transcripts. I'm not even sure I took a psychology class. All I've done is live it.
That's it.
So do you have a comment to make about that, Mr. Psychiatrist? Because if you do, if you do, go fuck yourself. What?
That's it.
What?
Yeah.
What? Yeah, I've heard your, I know about the zombie cocktail, and I know about group therapy. Do you have anything else to add?
Right.
No? Okay, then hit the fucking bricks. I'm done with you.
Right.
There's greater things out there for us, and again, I say this now all the time, but you're not going to convince me that the most disciplined, toughest, most selfless warfighters on the planet are now disabled pieces of shit that we have to take care of? No, sorry.
Right.
Not buying it.
That's it. That's it in a nutshell right there, brother.
But
you know,
But I think, though, that what is incumbent upon us, Larry, is, you know, we have to show people how you get to winning. Because it's not easy, right? I mean, your story, you might be the poster child for post-traumatic winning. And let me just tell you, and I coined that term less than 48 hours ago.
Wow.
Yeah, we're not here to coexist. We're
right.
not here to have a disability. We're here for the win. And I love that because I have a little piece of audio from the Commandant where he talks about winning. So listen to this.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. We got to win.
We got to win. That's us, right? It's our identity. We're not here for the tie.
That's goosebumps, man.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Motivating.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
It is.
And so that's my message as I go. And that's why I asked you the other day where you lived. I thought, were you living at one point in North Carolina, or have you always been back in Texas?
No, I've always lived in Dallas. I just kicked off the first walk I did in North Carolina.
So, man, I want you to be an ambassador, man. Post-traumatic winning. All right.
I gotta get
T-shirts made, right?
Yeah.
But you know, again, we're not content to be disabled or whatever, right? We're gonna boot that shit in the face and we're gonna win because it's completely within our capability. Let me read you an email. Mac, I'm getting fired up just listening to you two shitheads today. Question, how is Larry's body holding up throughout all of this? 4,000 miles is a lot of humping. Physically, how's he doing? Yeah, you know what? Talk about when you started this, man. You were a fat man with physical issues, right?
Right, right. Well, yeah, no, that's a great, great question because that's 5,000 whispering in my ear, but it's actually my body. I've got to listen to it for a little bit and see, you know, how aggressive I'm going to be in tackling that 1,000-mile mark. But, yeah, so when I first started, man, I was fat and out of shape. I had five knee surgeries on my left leg. I've basically bone on bone. They broke my tibia to shift the weight to the outside to put this wedge in it. So it's, you know, I've got that issue. I'm used to that. And like you were saying, the zombie, you know, just zombie me up with pills or whatever. You know, I mean, I was on 140 hydrocodone a month, and that was just what I was getting prescribed. So that was part of the darkness that I was in. I pulled myself out of that and turned my life completely around, started exercising, and I knew I wanted to see the country. I wanted to, you know, me and my friend Ingram in Iraq, Lang Ingram, knew that if we crossed that LOD, you know, I want to see what the fuck we're fighting for. I want to see the patriotism, what we're representing. I didn't think I'd be doing it on foot. So I said, screw it. I'm going to walk from Marine Corps base to Marine Corps base. And got in shape for that. Lost about 50 pounds doing that. Probably, I'd say 55 pounds. Second walk. I was at about a comfortable 220, and that's about where I'm, you know, I've got wide shoulders, and I'd say 220 is about where I'm comfortable. And then maintain that for the past 3 years. I'm golly, probably 230 right now, but that's, again, I'm in a comfortable place. I'm getting ready to go out and walk, actually, as we're talking, but it's just changed my life. You know, I used to sit on my ass, feel sorry for myself, and, you know, wondering why everything's happening to me, but like you said, that warrior mentality that we have, it's never going to leave us. Embrace it like we did while we were in. Embrace that shit, take it, and run with it.
Well, and then, again, if you can get your hands around how this stuff impacts you, and you may need help, and there's groups that'll help you, you know, learn about yourself and learn about what's happened to you, and then kind of create a little bit of a map in terms like, okay, the biggest stressors in my life are, like most, financial and relationship. When those things, if you can learn that stuff, right? And so get better at managing your money. Lower your overhead on a monthly basis. Quit pissing money away and have it in the bank. And so you don't have that. That is such a huge stressor for people. And the other one is relationship. If you're involved with somebody that you're in love with, then learn what to do when you have issues, whether it's go to counseling or something that you guys do together. If you learn that stuff, those are the keys that are to keep your life between the left and right lateral limit, to keep, and that's on the path of that you want to live. That's the life you want to live, and that's what we should be all about. But you don't need to go to therapy for that. You need to be trained to do that. And we've done, you know, Larry talked about being at the AV crew leaders course. You know, he didn't know how to do that shit when he started, but we get training. So if I tell you I can train you so that you can handle this shit, are you up for it?
Right.
Yeah, not only yes, but hell yes I am. I can do that. Yeah. And so it's to me that this whole concept of post-traumatic winning, as you say, when you hear it, you laugh like, like, what the hell is that? But when we think about it, when we talk about it, we already know it. We know
right.
it.
It's ingrained in us.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And then you hear that statement by the Commandant. And you look around and you say, are you ready to be somebody in your community? You go home, and you're a combat veteran, Larry. You're a United States Marine combat veteran. And when you go someplace and they introduce you as such, right? Your chest puff out a little bit, you know, your shoulders go back a little bit, right?
Right.
And people listen to you. And if you can use that for the good, and again, all I'm talking, if the only two things that you tell people and civilians affected by trauma are, one, you're not going to get over this. You're going to live with
right.
this for the rest of your life. And two, you can do this.
That's it, in a nutshell.
If you can do that, do you know how much pain that you will ease that's out there?
Golly. You know?
Intoxicated. Yeah.
It is. It's just crazy to think about. That's and you know, no better time to do that than
today.
In the past. Yeah. Embrace it. You'll be amazed what it'll do for your soul.
Let's talk about the effect on your soul of your walks. Can you put into words when you talk about people that you've touched, the way they've touched you, and what this has done for your life in terms of the way you view life, the amount of happiness you have in life, and did you ever think in your life that you would experience these things?
No. There's a, you know, when I decided to quit corporate America and the cushy, I had a comfortable existence. But something was missing. That was the toughest pill I'd swallowed probably since war. I was scared to death. You know, I thought making money was the key to life, the key to success. Then, you know, here I am 3 years later making the least amount of money I've ever made in my life, but I've never been happier. And I wouldn't change it.
That is awesome. That is an awesome. That is an awesome statement. And you don't need any more evidence by the number of wealthy people that commit suicide. If money was the answer, right? If money was the answer, you would not see that statistic right there. Interesting.
Right.
Interesting. My guest, former United States Marine Corps Amtrak Sergeant Larry Hinkle. He's just walked across the country again, this time with two other American veterans, including a woman, and three British veterans. And what did you guys call that walk?
We call it the Walk of America.
Walk of America. And again, the mission was simply to raise awareness relative to veterans issues, yes?
Correct, yeah. First and foremost, to raise, you know, the profile on veteran mental health, for sure.
And so,
secondly, it was, you know, obviously to raise funds, all the sponsors that we had. I mean, this was anything that I've ever done on steroids times 10, man. It was, you know, when you have the Prince Harry backing you, Dr. Jill Biden, Vice President Biden, you know, they were the American patron. It was unbelievable. We got to do some things that I'd never in a million years think I would do. But again, it goes back to putting people first. You know, when you put people first, it seems that kind of stuff just seems to make its way into your life, man. It really does.
All right, here's another email. Hey, Mac, I'm curious, all that walking's supposed to be easy. He said a little bit ago in the interview that he had bone-on-bone stuff going on.
Yeah.
How has he been able to walk the 4,000 miles he's even walked with that kind of damage?
Well, it's going to sound cliche, but now I have two herniated discs, L3, L5. A lot of overcompensating, I think, has created all that, but, it's, you know, spinal stenosis, all this stuff. It's like I said, it's going to sound cliche, but, I've got all my limbs. I'm fortunate enough in that aspect, and you see people out there, with a lot less than I have doing things. I don't know if you're familiar with Ricky Raley, the, paralyzed Army vet that just hand cycled 1,500 miles from New York City to Florida. That's the kind of things that I put in my head. I've learned to deal with the knee pain as it is. It's the, mentally I have, it's the back and the, you know, the hip and the everything on the other side, the good side, that I'm starting to try to figure out. So I think I'm going to take a couple months off, get into the VA, get on some physical therapy, programs and see what I can't do to knock out at least 5,000.
That's, yeah, you know what? Again, I'll give you some advice that I received from a doctor when I came back on active duty at the age of 45. He looked at me and he said, "You're a Marine, right?" And I said, "Yep." And he said, "You know, you're in better shape than any of these guys here, and they're all younger than you by at least 10 years."
Yeah.
I said, "Well, I won't say that I know that, but yeah, it's kind of what we do." And he said,
"Yeah."
He said, "Can I give you some advice?" And I said, "Absolutely." And he said, "Listen to your body." He said,
"Yeah.
I know the way you've done this in your life is that you guys ignore pain, right?" And I said, "Well, kind of, yeah." And he said, what do you do in the Marine Corps?" And I said, "I'm an infantryman." And he said, "Oh, no." And I said, said, "So you straight up ignore it?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Okay, as you get older, your body only has so much to give you before it starts reclaiming what it owns. And if you don't respect that, you're gonna pay for it for the rest of your life." So he said, "If I could give you some advice, my advice would be pay attention to what your body's telling you." So I offer that to you, Hinkle, all right, in the spirit of what a hammerhead you are. but the last thing any of us wants is you in a wheelchair for the rest of your life. So take care of your body and pay attention to it.
Absolutely, man. No, that's definitely, paints it in a good picture. for sure. And I think that's where I was, you know, once I hit the 4,000 mile mark when we had our 900 mile point in this last one. That's what I, you know, I just come to grips with and said I've got to take care of myself. And I think I'll do that, but it definitely won't stop me from getting 5,000, simply because I know that's just going to put me in front.
We lost him. Larry Hinkle, my guy. You know what? This is motivating. I'm not going to lie to you, man.
I lost you, Matt.
Did you get pissed? Did you hang up on me? What the hell, man? Well, like, what's your deal? Just because you got on Fox News now? Right. Now you're gonna shit on me?
That's all the time I have, at least that's what my people are telling me.
I got no more time for you, man. Let me ask you a couple more email questions here.
Yeah.
Mac, I'm sitting here, and did you really make that term up? And I want Larry to comment on it again. Does it make sense to him? Because he just heard it less than 30 minutes ago. I made that up. I have this shit rolling around in my head now. Like I describe my brain kind of works like a washing machine on the rinse, on the wash cycle where it's going and also it has like tennis shoes in there too. So it's not just like a sheet or something in there, right? It's easy. It's like that's my brain, and I get these things in there, and I think about it, and then this stuff. I have Admiral Stockdale at the Hanoi Hilton in there. I have, you know, and talking about, we're not going simply to endure this. We're going to thrive here.
Right.
And imbuing that sense of leadership to the point that only 2% of the guys that come out of the Hanoi Hilton have PTSD. Okay. I first read that and I thought, that's bullshit. It ain't. I have a guy named Viktor Frankl in my head who was in a concentration camp. He's a psychiatrist, born in Austria, I think, and winds up in a concentration camp and writes a book called The Meaning of Life and talks about that suffering has meaning. And even in the darkest depths, you can know happiness. And he talks about his experience in a concentration camp. And so I have all this stuff in my head and the Commandant's quote about winning. And then I had written this stuff, the evolution of the word, the Almarine Radio Gospel of Coexisting with PTSD. And that is a huge part of the win. You first have to accept it and learn to coexist with it because it ain't going away. But the word coexist. And now I've got Stockdale in my head talking about thriving. I'm like, that ain't a word that the gospel can't be about that. And I had that in my head yesterday. And so what would the gospel be about? Well, we're Marines. We're here for the win, man. We're not here for the tie. We're the group that got, when we got showed the four doors, here's a smart guy service. This one, you see the world. These two are the same. Pretty much the same. This one's reasonable. These people are fanatic, unreasonable, a lot of screaming and yelling, a lot of craziness. Okay, which door do you want? I'll take number four.
Right.
I'll take number four. I don't think you really understood what I said there, so let me say it again. And they go through it again. You say, no, I want four. That's us. We're here for the win. And so winning makes sense to us. And if I walk up to a Marine that's in the world of shit, medicated, and say, look, if I can show you a way out of this darkness, are you up for it?
Right.
And there's not too many Marines that are going to say no. Because they're not built like that. They're not keeled like that. So the email says, so Hinkle, what do you think of that? Does that make sense to you as a Marine?
That makes a... it's clear as day. That makes more than enough sense to me. I mean, that obviously being a product of what you're talking about. I get it in even a truer sense, but that's exactly what it is. It's our game. It's not PTSD's or this is our damn game, and we're gonna win at it. You're damn right. I couldn't agree with that anymore.
Well, you know, and again, we're the warrior caste of this country. We're not a bunch of jackasses that are now disabled, all right? And unlike my sister, right, I signed up for mine. My sister didn't sign up for shit.
Right.
And so I can offer you a path that takes you to a place in your community where you can have the experience that Larry Hinkle has, and you can go to bed at night having to tether yourself to your bed because you're going to float away because of the positive impact. Right, because of the positive impact you're having on people. Are you up for that? Tell me.
I'm up.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly, and that's what's going to pull it out. That's what's going to pull us out of this debacle that we're in now with all of our, you know, tribe killing itself and with all the problems that we had within the veteran community. I think getting out there, letting people know that message right there face to face, because they can see you are a product of it. That's our mission, man. What we got to do. Something that's always resonated with me is honor, courage, and commitment doesn't stop the day we get out. That's a service to our brother and our sister for the rest of our lives.
Yeah. So the question is, we're just going to rechannel some of that.
All right.
We're just going to rechannel that because really, the Marine Corps is a part of your life in this, and your life is going to be about finding purpose in life. Because most Marines, and you're a great example, you know, the only working for money didn't make sense to you.
Right.
It's not how you're wired. It's there's got to be more than this than that, because I don't, if that's all there is, I don't, that's not who I am. That's not what I do. And so.
Right.
So again, so how do you continue being a leader? How do you continue to touch people and affect people? That's the life that you live. How do you continue to do that? And if I can show you that path, the path of a warrior throughout life, if I can show you that path, are you in? And the answer,
right.
And you know, the answer the Marines are, you know, hell yes, we're in. And so to me, you know, this, for me, I've been doing this, and Larry, I met you early in this, but I mean, I've been doing this, this is going on 3 years now, and I've got, yeah. I don't know if it's a PhD, but I interview a lot of guys, I talk about it, I think about it, and to me, my opinions have gotten more defined and harder in terms of, no, I've heard what you have to sell, and I reject it.
Yeah.
I reject it. You don't know us. You don't know our tribe. You treat us. It surprises me that you don't know us, but you don't. And so why don't you come to me with me, and I'll introduce you to our tribe, and you can see the greatness of it.
Man, that's awesome.
Here's another email. Mac, I see a picture of Hinkle with his arms crossed, glasses on top of his hat, that big bushy beard in a blue shirt with those Brits and other guys. It's pretty motivating. What was the best part of the walk for him? So what was the best part of the walk for you?
Oh, man. I'll touch on a few different things because there's so many that we saw the country on foot more than, you know, a lot of people are ever going to get to do in their lifetime. It was just insane. We did 86 cities, I believe.
Let me ask you a current events question. We read how divided this country is. You've walked it. Give me your thought.
Oh, man. You know, I would say out of 10,000 interactions, and this still goes back to the first walk that I've done, I'd say four were bad.
Out of
interaction.
Out of how many?
we'll just say 10,000.
Okay, so I'm not a math major, but I will play one on the radio. That's zero.
Yeah.
That's zero. So when you cruise around the country, what do you see?
I'd have to say four that I had face to face. Now I did have some people swerving at me and stuff like that. So let's take that up to 10 or 15 max.
Okay, that's still zero.
Right.
That's still zero. You're not even within 7 decimals of being on the Richter scale yet.
Right. Right.
That's how bullshit that is. And so people that want to sell me that this country's divided, I just tell them, you don't know this country. You don't
Absolutely.
Know it. You watch the shit that they put on Fox and CNN, and that is just a slicked up version of Jerry Springer for ratings,
yep.
Right? You don't know this country. Get out and walk it like Larry Hinkle has and meet it, and then come back and tell me what you think.
I tell you, man, I couldn't agree with you more on that comment. It's opened my eyes. It really has. I used to be a really depressed and pissed off dude, you know, especially when it came to politics. But once I got out there and realized, shit, man, 90% of America, like I said, more than that is they want to see their neighbors succeed. They want to, you know, have a happy and prosperous life. They want to, you know, they support anything that goes amongst those guidelines. So,
Interesting. No, it's interesting. You get the worm's eye view. You've had the worm's eye view of the country in a way that most of us never will. Look, I tell people, look, that country, I fought for this country. I fought with guys who were raised in every economic group, in every racial group, in every socioeconomic group. Right?
Right.
Right, and when we get together and we go, right, there is no color. I don't live in that country, right? When I see the events at Houston in that flood, what do you see? You know, all you see is people helping each other, right? Yeah, and there's a small minority that will go and loot, but you know what? That's not even on the Richter scale relative to the population. And then, you know, 17 years ago on this date, every color, every language, every dialect, right? You hear it on those 911 tapes, and all they're doing is helping. So, I mean, an invitation to get to know America. Give me, so back to the email. Give me one thing you'll never forget from that trip.
I'm going to have to say, I'll give you two, because one of them is the whole reason for being on the trip. We got to see at Mount Rushmore, Vietnam vet came up to us. And I have these little hero pens that another Vietnam vet made for me to hand out as I see fit. And I gave it to this Vietnam vet, and we had the team. He was talking to the entire team, all 6 of us. And all I did was just I shook his hand. I said, "Welcome home." And this we truly think that you are a hero. You laid the path for us. We're just following in your footsteps. And the dude broke down. And, just, you know, saying thank you so much. I've needed to hear that for so long and just to see what it meant to him to get that pen and to get an honest, welcome home and love. That's something that'll always stick in my mind. On a selfish note, we were walking throughout the Grand Teton National Forest and about 100 yards to the right, we got to see a grizzly bear swimming in a lake in the Grand Teton. those scenic mountains as the backdrop. I mean, it was amazing.
No, it's something that the rest of us see on the National Geographic Channel.
Yeah.
In high definition. And we like, oh, that's so awesome to be there. I will tell you what, if you've never been to Mount Rushmore, that part of South Dakota is absolutely beautiful. And Mount Rushmore is a beautiful, it's an absolutely beautiful place, to include the monument, but just the terrain around it is a gorgeous part of the country.
Absolutely.
All right, so you're going to take it easy for about a month, and then I should start looking for you again?
Yeah, I mean, regardless, I'm still going to be doing a lot of, work throughout the veteran community, just may not be walking miles and miles to do it. But, I'll definitely still be running in and out of it. Probably going to maybe doing some stuff in the oil field. I don't know yet, but a lot of planning, a lot of relaxing, and a lot of serving probably going to take place here in the next month or so.
All right. Well, stay in touch with me, and I'll get that shirt made, and we'll get it to you. Because, first of all, the thing I love about it, as I thought about it, is it begs the question, right? What did you just say? I said post-traumatic winning. Like, what in God's name is that? Well, let me tell you what it is. And that's what I think is really cool. And then it's all rooted in our culture. It's all rooted in our warrior tribe. It's all rooted in our warrior culture. And to me, I don't know too many guys or girls that don't respond to that immediately and say yes. And again, the other caveat I want to say about it is that, look, I think there's a place for therapy. I think there's a place for those drugs, but I think it's a very, very limited place. And I think those techniques are overprescribed, and I think there's a better way. And hopefully guys like Larry and people like me that pay attention to veterans' issues can make a dent and take veterans to a better place that allows them to live the life they want to live and to touch the lives of other people given the unique path that they've walked. And I think that makes for a good life. So, and I'll tell you what, there's not a better example than Larry Hinkle. The lives that he touches. I mean, again, that Vietnam veteran, do you realize what you did for him?
Right.
And the answer is no, because you do it all the time. Because you do it all the time. But nobody had ever said those words to him.
Yeah.
And it's it's a pretty cool feeling. It's a pretty cool feeling when you go to bed at night with that warm feeling inside of your heart, like, wow, when I touch somebody else's heart, I swear to God, it touches mine more. So
it does. That's the beauty in doing it, man. You get rewarded just as much as the person you're doing it for.
There's another email. Mac, tell Hinkle there's nothing wrong with cycling across the country. There's nothing wrong with paragliding across the country. You can find other ways to get across the country. Tell him to figure it the fuck out. Okay, Hinkle. The other tribal members are starting to get after you now, okay? The last thing we need to see you is Larry Hinkle using his walker to get across the country, okay? That's not what we're looking for.
Yeah. No, that's probably going to be on my mind here before too long. Who knows, maybe kayak and canoeing, segwaying for all I care. We'll definitely get something along those lines, but that's awesome. I love it.
All right. My guest this morning has been none other than himself, Larry Hinkle, just completed a walk of 1,000 miles with five other veterans, two others from the United States and two from the United Kingdom, to promote veterans' issues and raise money. So first of all, Larry, extremely proud of knowing you, I will keep you because post-traumatic winning is going to be something here. And
yeah,
I've auditioned it for a couple general officers, and I'm getting ready to be flown around the country to talk about it. So you're in on it, and you're going to be one of our ambassadors because you're a great example of it. So congratulations on winning and all the things that you do to help other people win in this struggle of life. And thanks for doing this today.
Brother, I'm completely honored. You've been there since the first walk.
Yeah.
And, a brother of your magnitude reaches out and lets me know that, you don't just top to top, brother. You're there. You're constantly spreading this word. You're from day one, you've been spreading the same type of word. So it means a lot to me. It means a lot to me to be on your program, man. It means a lot to me to know people like you and to be within your brethren, man. It does. So thank you.
Well, look, we have work to do. All right, so I'll let you go and take care of your body, and you and I will talk down the road.
Sounds good, brother. Take care, Matt.
Yeah, thanks, Larry. Sergeant Larry Hinkle, United States Marine Corps, AmTracker, and veteran of Operation Anaconda in Afghanistan, and also a veteran of the march up, as it's known. The Gunner going to join me next. More of All Marine Radio. Hold on, let me read you an email. Post-traumatic winning? Did I hear that right? Like everybody else, Mac, I don't think you need too many more compliments, but that is a piece of genius. It snapped my head when I heard it. What did I just hear? But the way you describe it, it's absolutely perfect. Where do I get my t-shirt? Yeah, where do I get my t-shirt? I got to figure that out. Can I copyright that? How do I do that? No, I've never heard anybody else say it. Yeah, a little bit of an attention gainer in addition to being the truth. All right, we'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on a Tuesday, September 11th. We remember it. Next, here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.